what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org. Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network on this Wednesday, September the 11th, 2024. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
Brother Ed, huh?
Brother Ed.
By the way, good morning. I was thinking this morning in our conversations this morning in what he called our show prep meeting.
Yeah.
Somehow or another, you got confused with Dr. Ed, but that's not the case. It's Brother Ed.
I'm not a doctor.
You're not a doctor.
No.
I asked you some medical advice this morning.
Yes. Said,
you started in on answering it, and you're like, no, no.
Well, it was something simple. You were talking about your eyes were burning, and about allergies, and I said, hey, maybe you should try some Visine.
Yeah. And that's then, as far as you went, though.
That was because then you said something about, well,
how often
can I use it? And I thought, man, I don't want to blind this guy.
So no doctor at his brother.
Well,
no,
I would say with Vax, by the way, welcome Fred Jackson.
Good to be here.
I would say, I'm not a doctor either, but I would say with respect to Visine and how often to use it, I would read the instructions prior to squirting the first dose. Is vaccine a dose?
Visine, you mean?
Yeah. What did I say?
Vaccine.
Well, we're off to a rough start here. Visine.
Well, first of all, let me just say.
Because you won't be able to see for a
while.
Even
though I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
Have you ever used Visine?
Yeah.
Oh, you have? Okay. Yeah. Well, but when you say squirt Visine, I'm thinking, you know what? You're already starting off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. What do you call it when
just put a drop in.
Yeah, but you squeeze a bottle. Isn't it called squirting? I'm not here to argue.
No, and you're not here to argue.
you aren't either. So,
you don't squirt Visine.
You put a drop.
You just put a drop in.
Okay.
I mean,
what about squirt a drop? Can we just compromise there?
I think we can do that.
Okay.
We can meet in the middle.
Yes.
But you get Brother Ed because you were a pastor for many years.
Yes, so. And I am an ordained minister, although I've never allowed anyone to call me reverend. Mm-hmm. It's like I don't want anyone revering me.
but brother is through the Bible, brother or sister.
Yeah, and yeah. I call everyone brother.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
a lot of people do here. All right. So I don't think that Kamala Harris and Donald Trump called each other brother and sister last night.
No,
we had a debate. Hey, before we get into the debate analysis, and we got some good ones.
Oh, we're going to analyze.
Analyzation is going to be our forte today. See how
we're going to squirt. We're going to squirt some analysis out there.
Drop what?
We do have a national weather story that's going to impact the Mid-South. And especially Louisiana.
Yep.
Perhaps where we live here in Tupelo.
Mm-hmm.
I mention this because what was a tropical storm, Francine, has now been upgraded to a hurricane. It's a real hurricane now.
Category 1.
Expected to move to a 2.
Yes. And it's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes. It's supposed to come ashore tonight, according to the latest forecast. Just west of New Orleans.
Is that where Jim Cantore will be, leaning against the flagpole?
Probably. They pay him big bucks to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, and they're predicting. I was watching the weather forecast from the New Orleans local station early this morning, and they're talking about the
storm surge.
Francine is moving slightly to the east from the earlier projections, which means New Orleans is going to get, they say, between 5 and 10 inches of rain.
Right.
That creates all kinds of problems there. It's not so much they're worried about the wind right now. It is the rain. It is moving pretty slowly. and it's going to go through New Orleans, catch a little bit more of Louisiana, move over into Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi.
Going to go right up the river.
Yep, Jackson, Mississippi, going to get it.
And Baton Rouge.
And a place called Tupelo, Mississippi is going to get some of this too.
A lot of rain.
Yes.
Yeah. They're saying 4 to 6 inches of rain in Memphis. So that's how much it's going to impact. Yeah. Yeah, so you got a swath there probably from, you know, the Alabama line to the middle of Louisiana. It's going to be heavy, heavy rains. And yes. Some.
Just to remind our audience too, when you're driving in that, not necessarily the rain, although that's an issue, but when it begins to rain that much, that fast, you'd be surprised how much the water will raise on the roads, and be careful not to hydroplane.
Yes.
Yeah. The water, yes, the water will, yes.
When it puddles up or floods like that quick, you'll be driving normal because it hadn't rained, a month.
Right.
Which creates a problem. The ground is so hard.
Right. Probably run off.
Your water is not going to be absorbed as easily into the ground, so you're going to have a lot of water buildup.
Yes. Yeah, but, category two, you're talking 90 to 100 mile an hour sustained winds in and around the center of the hurricane. So, I mean, that's pretty significant, you know. Hurricanes aren't funny, but there is a moment when we all remember, most of us remember this. We talked about it before, that there was a hurricane coming ashore, and the Weather Channel had their people out there standing in the storm like they do. And guess what? We all watch it. Huh?
Right.
I don't know why. But we do. Why do we do that?
Well, it's mostly men that do that.
Really?
Well, unless you're being paid by the news.
I'll go home. Listen, I will go home tonight, and I will go over there to the Weather Channel.
Yeah.
And I will try to get my Jim Cantore fix.
Yeah.
Because I want to see him and the others. I don't know why I do this. I'll watch it a little while. But here's the thing.
Yeah, you got to finish the story.
I got to finish the story. So, and you can probably go on YouTube or somewhere and type this in, Google. But you remember about 5-6 years ago, there was one of these hurricanes, and the camera was on the Weather Channel reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And he was waiting in like thigh-high water and our knee-high water, and he was battling the wind, man. He could barely talk. He was trying to, then they scanned back a little bit, and there were two people walking their dog on the sidewalk behind him.
Yeah. That's where you get the laugh.
Yes. So what evidently had happened, this reporter had found a wind tunnel, you know, where wind comes through two buildings or something like that, to make it appear like he was standing out in, you know.
He was taking one for the team.
Yes, he was risking it all to report how.
That's it, risking it all.
There might have been a bonus involved.
Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah. Remember. I try to look it up, and I can't. I don't know how to word it get the right video. But everybody, probably everybody who watches weather remembers that moment. Because we've all seen, like you said, the news, the weather people. And they're walking, and it looks like they're in 150 mile an hour winds or something.
Well,
and then you don't see anybody else affected by it.
Let me tell you why I think that really is dangerous. In all seriousness, when they do that, and I think it's unnecessary. Although they would say no, it's necessary to get people like Tim to watch it,
right.
Which are probably true, a weather voyeur, so to speak.
Right.
But the reason it's really dangerous is debris can fly around.
Yeah.
Unpredictably. Right. So you got debris can fly around. Well, if some board hits you in the head because you're an idiot standing out in 100 mile an hour winds trying to prove that you can do it.
And we all had a front row seat watching your demise.
So you're going to, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So anyway. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues, not the Weather Channel.
Right.
But that
is coming.
There is a hurricane about to hit the Louisiana coast in the next 12 hours or so. Already left a lot of rainfall down in Texas. So.
Yep.
All right, Fred, there was a big deal last night in Philadelphia. Right?
Yeah, I think everybody around the table here caught all of it, or at least some of it. And there... I think there was amongst some people an expectation, gee, Is this going to come off the way the Trump-Biden debate did back in June? Is Kamala Harris going to fold? Is she going to be the word salad queen, et cetera, et cetera? But I think regardless of where you stand politically, Vice President Kamala Harris came off pretty well last night. She was able to handle herself. We were talking. She was a prosecutor in her day in California. And prosecutors are pretty good in a courtroom
right.
at accusing people. And that was kind of the tone last night. And she went at Donald Trump on a number of fronts, including, and I'm going to play a little bit of audio, on a number of fronts, including on the issue of abortion and the economy. But she also repeated some things about, you know, Project 2025. So here's Kamala Harris last night saying Trump would sign a national abortion ban, and she brought up Project 2025 again, cut number six.
If Donald Trump were to be reelected, he will sign a national abortion ban. Understand, in his Project 2025, there would be a national abortion, a monitor that would be monitoring your pregnancies, your miscarriages. I think the American people believe that certain freedoms, in particular the freedom to make decisions about one's own body, should not be made by the government.
Now, she's pretty safe with her audience on abortion.
The line meter just tilted.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That they would be Egg monitoring.
Sorry, interrupt you, Fred.
She's monitoring your miscarriages.
She just she spewed lies. I mean, I don't know.
No, that was.
I'm sorry to say that. Huh?
No, she lied a lot last night.
Wait a minute. The moderators were there to check her on that.
Oh, don't get me started on the moderators.
We got you started. So go ahead. Unleash.
Let me just say, first of all, President Trump. That may have been after. President Trump already said, I've got nothing to do with Project 2025. She knows that.
After.
Listen, somebody else did the Project 2025, this Heritage Foundation, I think.
Right.
Well, and rather, others. I've got Trump denying once again he has anything to do with 2025. Cut number seven.
Number one, I have nothing to do. As you know, and as she knows better than anyone, I have nothing to do with Project 2025. That's out there. I haven't read it. I don't want to read it purposely. I'm not going to read it. This was a group of people that got together. They came up with some ideas, I guess some good, some bad, but it makes no difference. I have nothing to do. Everybody knows I'm an open book. Everybody knows what I'm going to do. Cut taxes very substantially and create a great economy like I did before. We had the greatest economy. We got hit with a pandemic. And the pandemic was not since 1917, where 100 million people died. Has there been anything like it? We did a phenomenal job with the pandemic. We handed them over a country where the economy and where the stock market was higher than it was before the pandemic came in. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. We made ventilators for the entire world. We got gowns. We got masks. We did things that nobody thought possible. And people give me credit for rebuilding the military. They give me credit for a lot of things, but not enough credit for the great job we did with the pandemic. But the only jobs they got were bounce back jobs. These were jobs bounced back, and it bounced back and it went to their benefit. But I was the one that created them. They know it, and so does everybody else.
Yeah. So that was one of the better moments for former President Donald Trump last night. But the 2025 thing keeps being repeated. He keeps denying it. But she brought it up last night, knowing that that would be, I believe, not challenged by the moderators. And it wasn't.
Well, and also, I mean, the list goes on. But let's back up, though. We all know this, Democrats included, that before the pandemic and the shutdowns and the lockdowns and all that, before that, the economy was as best as it's ever been, at least in my generation,
right.
in my lifetime. So you got to look at the 3.5 years prior to a historical
right.
lockdown shutdown
right.
that we were doing fine under yes. the Trump administration. But back to a couple other ones. Remember the bloodbath one?
Yes.
She repeated that.
And the Charlottesville.
Charlottesville. The list went on, but
what's the bloodbath one?
The bloodbath hoax. Remember Harrison?
Oh, yeah.
He was talking about the economy, I think.
He's talking
the
about
economic bloodbath.
Yes.
Yes.
She tried to make it sound like he was promising that if he lost
the 2024, election.
The election, there'd be riots in the streets.
There'd be a bloodbath if he lost.
Yes.
Referring back to like a
he didn't say that. No. He didn't say anything.
And she knows
yes.
he didn't say.
He said bloodbath, but he was talking in terms of a like the economy. It was metaphoric. It wasn't literal. But anyway, back to what she just said right there. Okay, that Project 2025 that she brought up, I haven't read it all either, but I know there have been a lot of great, wonderful people who worked on that. That's from the Heritage Foundation is an excellent organization who's behind it. I guess I understand why Trump wants to distance himself from it because it's not his campaign. But it's basically just a – that Project 2025 is not the Mein Kampf, okay? It's basically just a – again, I haven't read the whole thing, but I know people who've worked on it. We were a part of it to a degree. It's basically just making plans for if Trump is elected to get good people who believe in the conservative principles into place and be ready to go on day one, not – scramble to find a liberal bureaucrats to fill positions that don't agree with President Trump and Vice President Vance's ideology and plan for the country. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it's a conservative blueprint. That's all it is.
It's a conservative blueprint. I wish Trump wouldn't diss it.
Well, I think he helped himself some yesterday by saying, I'm guessing because there's good people, there's good stuff in there and bad stuff in there.
Well, you said I hadn't read it purposefully. That's okay. Anyway, that's kind of beside the point. She's trying to hang that around his neck.
The point here is that he is, regardless of where you feel on 2025, the point is here in the debate is that that he has on multiple occasions said, I have nothing to do with that. That's not my team. My team didn't put it together. And she keeps saying that he's attached to it.
Yeah,
and
I understand why he's doing that because he wants to only be responsible for what he puts on his. I understand that. Okay, so let's move on. That was one point of the night.
And also she accused him he would sign a national abortion ban.
We have another one.
Yeah, we've got more. But he has said on multiple occasions he's not going to sign a national abortion ban. She knows that, but she was confident in repeating these lies over and over again last night.
Why?
Because she had her two buddies who were moderators last night. They checked Donald Trump 5 times.
Listen, before you get to this, you ever see these videos online? I try not to watch them. I really do. But when somebody like at a subway in New York City or something gets jumped by a bunch of people and they throw this poor soul to the ground and start kicking him, that's what it was like last night.
Yes.
Yeah.
With Trump, Kamala Harris, and then the two ABC moderators, David Muir and Lindsay Davis.
Yes. So here's a montage of their correcting or fact-checking Donald Trump last night. Cut number one.
There is no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born.
President Trump, as you know, the FBI says overall violent crime is actually coming down in this country. But I did watch all of these pieces of video. I didn't detect the sarcasm, lost by a whisker.
Vice President Harris, he says you hate Israel.
You did bring up something. You said she went to negotiate with Vladimir Putin. Vice President Harris, have you ever met Vladimir Putin?
Yeah, it was disgusting.
It was one-sided for sure.
Absolutely.
It was pretty obvious that as I mentioned before, you're playing with one hand tied behind your back because now he's debating 3 people.
Right.
Or it depends on how you're looking at it. But the point is he's having to, and he's always on the defensive side because they didn't ask her the same thing when she said, they didn't rebuttal her or question her when she said that she was for fracking in 2020.
Yeah, listen, it wasn't just the live correcting and fact-checking that they did. It also goes to the kinds of questions they asked. I mean, they
January 6th.
I mean, January 6th. Come on. We're going to go back to that and make a...
Were they the ones that brought that up?
Yes.
You stepped out. We watched the whole debate together, Wesley and I did, and some others. But I must have stepped out when
In fact, remember I joked when you came outside, they were just about on the tail end of it. And I said, just go back inside. Come back out after they finished.
They did not press her. And I know we got sound, so I don't want to step on.
Fred's the only one here that's got any kind of voice of moderation.
If they had been fair, they would have pressed her on all her flip-flops, and they did not. Trump tried to, but anyway, go ahead, Fred.
Listen, she did, the lady reporter, what's her name?
Lindsay Davis.
Lindsay Davis. She did try two times.
Yes.
To go after Harris on her flip-flops, double talk, and her change positions. The problem was she didn't then say you didn't answer the question.
Right.
Okay.
There you go.
So there were two times in particular that I remember. One is she did the
fracking.
Yeah. What's her name again? I'm sorry.
Lindsay Davis.
Okay. The Lindsay Davis, the lady, she asked, okay, do we have that exchange? Where she said, you've changed your position on fracking, which for those who don't know what that is, it has something to do with oil, really.
It's with
right?
shale oil. So in
go deep, Ed.
Yes. So in the kinds of layers that have rock called shale, there's often oil trapped in it, and quite a bit of oil, actually. And technologically here, the last, whatever, 10 years, they have figured out how to go not down with a drill like you normally see, but to the side right. or at an angle to extract that oil. And yeah.
You're doing better. I thought.
Oh, you're doing good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was waiting for you to do an and but you went right in and nailed that.
There I go. So that's fracking.
That's
okay. But
that's
but it's
a,
what it is. It's a way to find oil.
Yes.
That's not as destructive on the land as the.
Well, the environmentalists do say, well, you're going to cause the collapse of the ground because you're extracting all those kind of things. It is more expensive to frack because you're going at an angle. You're not going through just soil
okay.
down to a pool of oil somewhere. But it became, because the technology improved and because prices had gone up so much during the Trump, you know, before the Trump administration, it became economical to extract shale okay. oil through fracking.
This is the administration, remember, that shut down the Keystone Pipeline.
Yes.
Because they're against fossil fuels. They're against traditional energy because they believe.
Unless it's in another country.
Yeah. But then, yeah, Biden shut down the Keystone
right.
pipeline, which was that natural gas or?
I don't remember.
I think that was oil.
I think that was
from Canada to the U.S.
That was oil.
Sorry. But anyway,
might have been
they were against natural gas too. But then remember Biden went over when the gas prices started going up. He went over there and begged the Saudis to pump more oil.
Yes.
So it's double talk. He's saying we're burning the planet up, and this would be Harris's position too. We're burning the planet up by climate change caused by people driving SUVs. We got to get away from that. So what's our response? Well, let's go beg the Saudis to drill more oil over there.
Yeah.
Instead of on a, yeah. Anyway. Listen, back to the original point, then we got to take a break for just a minute. It was okay. The other credit to Lindsay Davis, the reporter. Again, credit for answering the question, but it's almost the credit's taken away because you didn't make her answer the question. The abortion question came up.
We have a clip from that.
We do?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a break, and when we get back. Is this when she asked her?
Yes.
About her? Okay.
Yes.
I want you, because it's always the pro-life side, and many Republicans obviously are pro-life. We're always the one asked the hard questions about rape and incest and Trump wants to
sign
a national.
6 weeks, 8 weeks.
Yeah, all this stuff. We, you know, the left is always trying to force us to answer the really.
I got you moment.
Yeah, you gotcha. But when the question is flipped, okay, well, we'll talk about this when we get back. You'll hear how the question is flipped and hear how Harris won't answer the question.
Right.
We'll talk about that when we get back from this time out. And we'll talk about, does this debate change anything in terms of voters?
We're going to wind down.
Yeah.
We are. I don't know if I can.
We're going to calm down.
That's right. Take a break.
And get back to normal.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems VP nominee Walz supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chance at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred, we're talking about the presidential debate last night in Philadelphia between Vice President Harris and former President Trump. And we're going to have a guest momentarily, Dr. Walter Windler, president of West Texas A&M University, will join us, as he does every couple, 3 months. But before we do that, I did want to finish what we were talking about prior to the break, because, you know, Trump last night was, he was against, well, it was 3-on-1, basically. That's the way many conservatives at least view what happened last night. Not that Trump had his best performance either. But here's a situation as an example of how the ABC reporter,
Lindsay Davis,
she asked a good question, but listen to the answer from Harris and understand there was no comeback of you didn't answer the question. Go ahead.
Yeah, Lindsay. Vice President Harris, want to give you your time to respond, but I do want to ask, would you support any restrictions on a woman's right to an abortion?
I absolutely support reinstating the protections of Roe v. Wade. And as you rightly mentioned, nowhere in America is a woman carrying a pregnancy to term and asking for an abortion. That is not happening. It's insulting to the women of America.
Okay. Was that all she said?
Yes.
I can't remember exactly. Well, I just know she didn't answer the question. Here's a question that she was supposed to answer. Are you in favor of any restrictions on abortion? Okay. So that means, are you in favor of after the first trimester, second trimester? Are you, do you believe in allowing for abortion in America up to the 9 months? Till the baby's about to come down? Okay, that's a question she needs to answer if she's going to say she's, quote, get the pro-choice and get the government out of our, off our bodies or whatever else she said there. Cliches, and they're trite, and you don't get into any depth of discussion on that kind of thing. But she says there that she believes she doesn't answer that question, which is a hard question to answer.
Yes. Which is the point of being fair if you're a moderator.
And
the, you asked a hard one to President
she
Trump.
She avoided that question.
But
she,
Trump was forced to ask, you changed your mind. You said 6 weeks was not too much, but you need to go 8.
Why? They forced it on Trump.
The 6 to 8 week deal, they made him
But they didn't force it on her. That reporter should have come back and said, yes, but you didn't answer the question. Are you in favor of restrictions on abortion after 12 weeks, 24 weeks? When are you?
Trump did do that.
Trump did what?
He said you're going to have to answer. Is it 7 months?
Okay,
eight months, 9 months?
I think he tried to do it a couple times.
Well, he also brought up the former Democrat governor of Virginia, Remember what he said about abortion? If a woman gives birth, full-term birth, we put the baby over on the counter.
It's a partial birth abortion question.
Yes, and we have a discussion with the mother.
Right.
While the baby is there on that.
That did happen. Yes. Trump mistakenly said West Virginia governor.
He did.
But he did come back and correct himself. Mm. Anyway, listen, the issue of abortion is now in the hands of each individual state. It's really not a federal issue any longer. Okay.
It will be under Harris, though.
That's why it was number 22 or 23 on the list of most important things for the Americans when they were polled. What's going to get you out to vote? And that was at the very bottom.
Right. I just don't think it's a major issue with the broad general public. And Trump is right. Trump said, now Trump's not as pro-life as I want him to be. He did do good when he was president, but he's just, it's not in his heart.
Right. Well, I know we're kind of clip heavy and we're going to get to our guest, but Brent went out of his way to get this clip for us. So let's play this clip real quick. This is Trump's response to Kamala when she won't answer the question.
Will she allow abortion in the 8th month, 9th month, 7th month?
Come on.
Okay, would you do that? Why don't you ask her that question?
Why don't you answer the
problem.
Question? Would you
because
veto?
Under Roe v. Wade,
answer the question,
you,
would
could,
you, veto?
You could do abortions in the 7th month, the 8th month, the 9th month,
not true.
And probably after birth.
Well, good for him. I'd forgotten that.
Yep. Yeah.
That was good for him.
It's a good moment.
By the way, it's also true. It's not just Governor Ralph Northam, of the former governor of Virginia. The governor of Minnesota, the vice presidential candidate for Harris, Tim Walz, also signed into law, I'm not sure, I think maybe a couple of years ago, that there is no protection for a baby who survives an abortion in Minnesota because of Tim Walz. So technically, Lindsay Davis was right. There is no quote-unquote law requiring a baby to be killed after birth, but that wasn't the point that Donald Trump was making.
Listen, the bottom line is this. The Democrat Party believes you should be able to abort a baby
whenever,
up to 9 months.
On demand.
And partial birth abortion. That has always been the
position. That's what they believe.
Yes.
Yeah. So if, they try to,
obfuscate.
They try to dance around that, but that's where they are.
Right.
That's where they are. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're talking obviously about the presidential debate last night in Philadelphia between Trump and Harris. Joining us right now is Dr. Walter Windler, president of West Texas A&M University in the Panhandle area of Texas. Good morning, Dr. Windler.
Good morning, gentlemen. I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you.
By the way, again, remind me what town school is located in?
It's just south of Amarillo in a town called Canyon, Texas, and that canyon is on the rim of the second largest canyon in the United States.
Yes.
Paladuro Canyon.
Yes, sir. So what did you think of the debate last night?
Oh, I was afraid you were going to ask me that.
How much time do I have?
How much time do you have? But you know what's interesting? Because one of the things I was thinking about, just bear with me for a second, because I want to address something in that debate that's something that I'm wrestling with right now as university president. You know, a lot of people hear stories about the changing nature of college students, and I've had the privilege of, or the challenge of, I started teaching at Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge in 1975. I'm an old man. I'm probably older than any of you guys. So treat me with respect.
We do.
But the fact of the matter is, I started teaching there in 1975. So I taught baby boomers. I've taught Gen Xers. I've taught millennials. I've taught Gen Z. And I'm involved now with Generation Alpha students. And a lot of people want to make out that there's been a radical change in student aspirations and students' desires of what they get from a college education. And I'm here to tell you, from my perspective, that's not true. The fundamentals of what students look for from a university, public or private, is a holistic view of life. They want their faith life and intellectual life to be knotted together to present them with the opportunities to be a whole person. And this is the part about the debate. I kept hearing last night, and I heard that word aspirations a number of times. And the fact of the matter is, I don't think the aspirations of students or the aspirations of the general public have changed all that much in the last 50, 60, 70 years. I mean, people want the opportunity to, you know, to get a job, to earn a living, to be who they are, to practice their faith, and so on and so forth. And part of the problem with contemporary American higher education is some universities produce little of value in that regard. You know, they sell degrees to students who the degrees have very little value in the marketplace, and students leave encumbered with too much debt. And the fact of the matter is, it turns out to be something that is not at all in line with their aspirations. And this constant pressure that says we shouldn't look back, we need to look ahead, I don't buy it. I think the fact is we need to look back and understand where we've come from as Americans. We need to go all the way back to the founding fathers and the deepest principles of Western civilization. And those are extracted from Judeo-Christian principles. And by golly, we need to understand that to get a sense of our own DNA and the genesis of our nation. And I think we give that up at our peril. And when some candidate says we just need to look ahead, forget the past, I don't think so. I think we need to remember the past very carefully, both the good parts of the past, the genius of the American experiment on the one hand, and also some of the shortcomings of the past, slavery and all kinds of inappropriate perspectives that evolve in various places at various times and so on and so forth. But we need to be mindful of the past. And I think this idea, this progressive view that just forget the past, is it's a cardinal sin is what it is. It's a terrible mistake.
Yeah, Dr. Wendler, you're mm-hmm. president of West Texas A&M University. Your school is a little bit unique from the conversations we've had, because at that university, you're trying to do exactly as you're talking about, teach students about our past. So let me just ask you this question. On a lot of college campuses, they not only are not teaching about the Constitution and the good things about our history, as you know, in a way that is simply incompetent, they seem intent on overthrowing those foundations. Do you think it's as sinister a motive on some of these college campuses as I'm making it out to be, or is this just they're just ignorant of the importance of doing this?
Well, I think there's this is where I get in trouble. You guys ask hard questions. I think the fact of the matter is there's a lot of cynicism on university campuses, and you use the word sinister. I understand the difference between the two, but the fact is, some of it is sinister. Some of it is are people on college campuses that just feel, and thankfully, a very small number, but they have a very big megaphone. Thankfully, there's not that many, but there are people that just think, you know, America is a nation that's lost its way, that never had its way, never understood where it was going. And I would argue that those Enlightenment thinkers that set up our society actually had tremendous vision for what a nation could be. They've had to have that. They had to have that kind of vision, because the fact is that no nation has survived a form of government like we have in the United States of America for this many years.
Right.
And this sinister view presents itself. It's very difficult on some campuses to talk about patriotism.
Right.
Yeah. I've run into some issues with people that don't agree with the way I think, which is fine. That's perfectly fine. But, you know, there were posters around the campus. They had a picture of me, and then they had an arrow, and it said, "This is a Christian nationalist."
Right.
Right. And of course, when I see that, I say, well, yes. And what's wrong with that? Yeah, I'm a patriot. I love our nation. And I happen to be a Christian. And I'm very open about that.
Right.
So that people understand what my biases and predispositions are. And I think all Christians should be very open about it, not to be argumentative, not to to put somebody down or diminish another, but to say, look, this is what I believe. Do I have a right to believe that? And the fact is, I do. And I'm not afraid of it. It's the way it is.
Dr. Walter Windler is our guest, W-I-N-D-L-E-R, president of West Texas A&M University. How can folks find out more about your school?
Well, they can go to the website, which is very easy to do. It's West Texas A&M University, WTAMU, .edu, and that'll get you there. Sorry, I'm balled up there for a minute, but it's WTAMU.edu. The easy way to get there.
All right, Dr. Windler, thanks for joining us today. We wish you the best. Talk to you next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yes, sir. Thank you for having us. Bye.
Yeah, absolutely. West Texas A&M University, not to be confused with Texas A&M University, which I guess this is a part of the same system, obviously.
Yep.
But all right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We got some more we want to talk about with respect to the debate. Did you guys feel like, okay, I think that Harris is, my wife and I were talking after the, Allison, we were talking after the debate, and obviously not fans of Harris, her political views.
Right.
But her presentation was good.
Yes.
Her presentation, or you could say her acting ability.
Right.
Okay.
Her debate, she from the skills of being able to have a debate.
Yeah,
she debated because,
well, one of the reasons was the low expectations, Fred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's been low profile as a vice president. You know, she was a border czar, but really didn't go to the border.
No. Didn't go to Europe either.
Didn't
she's
go to Europe.
Around, but she's traveled around the world.
Right.
She said that like four times. I've traveled.
And in previous interviews, she's been known as the queen of word salads.
Yeah.
You know, she's gets all mixed up. So there was a low expectation. But as we mentioned, she was a prosecutor at one time in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other thing that we were told last night, she was well-practiced leading into this debate last night. She had a bunch of topics she wanted to talk to, and she was coached on how to respond to all of this. And so she had no problems when the questions came. As much as I'm skeptical about the ABC team last night, I don't think they delivered the questions to her in advance. But she knew what was coming, and she was ready for it. And she also was coached on how to handle the former president.
Oh, yeah. She knew she was goading him.
Yes.
And he fell for it. He can't help himself. You say that his rallies are boring?
Yes.
That's all.
People are leaving.
People leave early.
She said several times he's weak. She used words like tired.
You could see his eyes pop open.
Yeah.
Because he is a egomaniac.
Right?
Okay. I'm not criticizing his politics. I'm just saying he is
She knew what to do to provoke
him. He is a narcissist. You call him weak, he's coming at you. You know what I'm saying? Because he's going to say whatever to prove that I'm not weak. And so she knew it was a tripwire. Is that what you want to call it?
Yeah, and I'll say this, too. A part of Debate Tactics 101, and I've mentioned this before. I was on the—
Excuse me if you interrupt. I'm interrupting. By calling Trump an egomaniac, I'm not saying he's a maniac. Okay? I should have said narcissist. Which everybody in the world knows except him. Okay. And we all know that. That's factored in. And I'm not saying that's a disqualifying factor for running for president.
Most people at that level are narcissistic.
There's some level of.
Yes, but he carries it to a new level.
Okay.
Okay. Because it's the greatest in the world whatever he did on that day was the greatest in the history of the world.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's kind of a running joke. Again, it doesn't disqualify him
right
from being president. You can still be a You know, you can be a functioning narcissist, so to speak. But I didn't want to insinuate that I think he's nuts
in, right.
by using the word maniac. Now, yeah. go ahead.
Okay, so I was on the high school debate team 4 years, college debate team 3 years. Okay, this is what we're taught. One of the things we're taught, okay, is you do not simply answer a question with your views and then let your opponent answer the question with his or her views. Okay, what you do is you answer the question as briefly and succinctly as possible, and then with your remaining time, you throw three attacks at your opponent.
That's right.
So that your opponent has to start his or her answer by answering the three attacks you sent his way, giving him less time to answer the question.
That's right.
And that's what she did last night. Mm-hmm. So she was – now, I think she did – I said yesterday on the show, the bar is set so low for her, as long as she doesn't implode, and if she can meet that bar, it's a win for her. Well, she did better than that, mm-hmm. okay, because she was prepped. And that's why if you were to listen to that debate again, first of all, may God have mercy on you. You listen to that all over again. But if you listen to it, that was a clinic. That was a clinic on how to put whatever you want to say out and answer and then go after your opponent, because she knew and her team knew that President Trump will immediately get defensive, especially since it was 3-on-1. He'll get defensive, and that's why sometimes – he rambled a little bit because he was thrown off his game and fell into her trap.
Yeah. And yeah, but all you got to do is throw him off his game for a bit is challenge his manhood,
yeah.
so to speak,
yeah.
politically. And he falls for it every time because he can't help himself. Go ahead, Wesley. You want to say?
Oh, well, I'll just add, in my opinion, I don't think Trump did anything bad. I don't think he did anything wrong. I don't think – in fact – I understand what y'all are saying in the sense that, yeah, you know, he certainly fell for the trap. But I've seen him fall for the trap far worse and be far more cringing than he did last night.
Yeah.
As far
– You mean eating pets wasn't enough for you? The Haitian immigrants are eating people's cats and dogs in Ohio?
Hold on. Yes, but that's totally different. That's not a trap.
That when the debate ended.
Exactly. Now I'm answering the question.
Yeah, you're answering it.
No, I'm talking about the one – like, for example, the – That's a different thing. What I'm referring to is when Kamala says your rallies are small,
right,
and that people leave. That's a trap. What you're talking about is he answered a question, and he went on a rabbit hole there. But that was not in the same sense of people leave your rallies early
right.
That's a trap. In my opinion, he didn't. He did not. I didn't cringe as much. I've cringed far more at other things that he's done in other debates back in 2020 and in 2016.
Like in 2020 when he kept interrupting Biden.
Those are more like, come on, stop. I never had a moment where I was like, no. I think the issue here is we all went into the debate waiting for Kamala to have she can't finish her sentence moment,
right?
And that never happened. I think Kamala just did really good.
The only time I cringed was the eating the cats, dogs things. Now, folks, I know you're out there listening. I know what you're thinking.
They're like, "What are you talking about?"
Watch the debate. They might be thinking we're.
Yeah, there's a town in Springfield, Ohio.
Oh boy,
that was less than 60,000 population, and since COVID. 20,000 Haitians have moved there. Okay, so a third plus, you take a third of their population and you add it, it's Haitians. And there are anecdotal stories of people saying these Haitians can't drive, they're flipping cars, they're getting in accidents, no insurance, plus they're going to the park and they're grabbing ducks and they're grabbing cats and they're taking them and eating them because that's what they do in Haiti.
Trump said people's pets.
Trump said people's pets. So I know folks are – I think I even know some of you. You're saying, listen, I've seen pictures of Haitians carrying ducks and geese. Okay? That's probably anecdotally true. But he shouldn't have said that at the debate. What he should have focused on, in my opinion, and I wasn't in his spot – but he should have mentioned the 20,000 Haitians. And you don't care what they're eating.
And last night, he could have mentioned what the governor of Ohio did yesterday.
Yes.
He announced he's sending in troopers.
National Guard.
Yeah, National Guard. He's sending them in, and he's having to give the city $2.5 million to cope with the housing problem, the food problem that these Haitians are creating.
That, to me, is the point you make.
Yes.
My point is, I think he had missed opportunities. Obviously, but I don't think Trump did anything where I was like, oh my gosh, what is he doing? That was
the only one for me.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
but okay. I'm like with you. I was kept waiting. No, don't do that. Don't
yes.
fall into a trap. Don't you
he
need to hit
a couple,
her. You need to
yeah.
hit Kamala Harris.
I would say probably some voters from some parts of the world heard that and they go. Eating cats and dogs, what's the problem with
what's
that?
What's wrong with that? Listen, huh? I'm sure there's people listening here and going, listen, I don't think they're eating the cats and dogs. I think those Haitians are sacrificing. There's a little voodoo going on.
Voodoo. All right, we'll be back. It's probably time for a break.
Oh, yeah, I need a break.
Oh, boy.
We're gonna reset.
Okay. Steve Jordahl's coming.
Yes.
Yeah, can we all make a
ratchet
promise?
Things
we're gonna,
down.
That's it, ratchet.
We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.